Our reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Anita asked the children, what do you want? Do you like presents? It's always nice to receive a gift, particularly an unexpected one. As well as the gift itself, it also signifies that the donor appreciates you. But what about giving gifts? Are you one of those people who dreads birthdays and Christmas because of the need to think about what presents to give people? Is it something they'll appreciate? What if someone else gives the same thing? How much should I spend? I don't want to look stingy, but I also don't want to spend too much. Then what happens when it doesn't work out? It's a lovely present, but I already have it. It's nice, but the wrong colour. Model, design, make. Or what do I do with it? What is it? Will I really use it? Again, when giving a present, it suddenly dawns on us that the person we're giving the gift to really does not want it or like it. I had got it right, but it was the wrong size, model, colour, etc., etc. Some people say that the best gift is money, because that gives the choice to the recipient. But others are unhappy with that, as it perhaps shows that not enough thought has been given. It is an easy option. At the end of the day, it's the thought that counts. Or is it? Does the thought that counts help the refugees from Syria or suffering in places like Somalia, South Sudan, Chad. No, thoughts need to be backed up with gifts and practical actions. Let us have a look at the church at Philippi that Paul was writing to, as we read in our reading. First of all, what was this church? We can get an idea of it from Acts chapter 16, of how it was made up. First of all, in that chapter, in verse 12, we learn that Philippi was a Roman colony and a leading city of that area. This means there was a mix of people in the city: Romans, local Macedonians, tradespeople coming into the city from various parts, Jews, as we read through the Acts of the Apostles, found in almost every city. So we have a multi-ethnic community, which was also reflected in the church. Paul started off, when he arrived in Philippi, in his usual pattern of going to the Jewish community first, usually the synagogue. But in Philippi it was a prayer meeting outside the city. This could have been because Philippi was a Roman colony and it was more difficult to establish a synagogue. Or it could also mean that the Jewish community was still too small to establish one. But it's at that prayer meeting that Paul meets Lydia. Is it significant that the first Christian in Europe was almost certainly a woman, Lydia? We're also told other aspects which are important. She was a seller of purple cloth. Why is purple? Why is the colour important? Purple cloth was the most expensive. Therefore, she was somebody who mixed with the wealthiest people in the area. As a businesswoman, she could well have become a leader in the church. The next person we meet is a slave girl, at the opposite end of the spectrum to Lydia. We know from verse 18 in Acts 16, she was changed, but we do not know whether she actually made a commitment to Christ. This sets a pattern which still applies today, that some people may have heard be on the edge of the church, but have not made a commitment. A reminder that we need to continue to preach Christ, even when people may have heard the message before. Also, given her background, it is likely that the slave girl would have needed a lot of support from the church. Maybe someone who would have had some mental problems or otherwise. And the third person we meet is the jailer, a working man who dealt with the bottom of the pile, the prisoners. He was also a family man, and his family all responded to Christ. So we have a family all coming within the church. At the end of the chapter, we read that others also responded to the gospel, because in verse 40, we saw that they came together where Paul and Silas went to meet the brothers. This helps us to see that Philippi was a church made up of people from various backgrounds and levels in society, and probably with people within their church who needed help and support. So it was out of a church with a mixed congregation that they saw the need to support the wider work of Christ beyond their borders. Let us look at the letter to the Philippians. We read in chapter 4, and we'll start there. In verse 10, we read, "The church showed concern for Paul. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." The church showed concern for Paul, but because of distances and Paul's travels, it was not always easy for them to demonstrate this. We speak about out of sight and out of mind, and that would have been easier for the Philippians, but was not the case. They remained faithful in their support for Paul's ministry. How did they show that? Well, I've used the term cash. They recognised Paul's needs and responded to it. I use the term cash, but actually we don't know from Philippians whether it was cash or other things that they sent to Paul to support him. But notice in chapter 15, in verse 16, they gave again and again. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. We need to be faithful in our support and recognize that a one-off gift may not be enough. The needs are ongoing. And then, thirdly, Christ-likeness. We go back to the beginning of the letter to the Philippians in chapters 1 and 2. And we see there how Paul extols the Philippians to continue to develop in Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul writes, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And again in chapter 2, and verse 2, we read, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. How does all of this fit with home mission? A quote from the European Baptist Federation: the local church is holy church, but not the whole church. Home mission is the means by which the Baptist family can provide gifts for others in need in that family. It provides funds for work at national and regional levels in this country. It's our opportunity to be a Philippian church and show concern and support for those who are short of funds as they seek to serve the Lord and take forward the mission of Christ in their localities. How does it work? The fund raises just over £4 million per annum across the UK. This provides the main source of income to fund both national and regional work, but is also supplemented by other income arising from various sources, including investment income and legacies, and also from churches which have closed. Last year in this area, in the heart of England, £330,000 came from the churches. Thank you for that. In recent years, home mission has been rising slowly. However, the growth has been lower than the rate of inflation and earnings growth. This has resulted in the deficit that some of you may have read about in the union's finances overall. And you may have read that recently there have been some staff reductions at Didcot, where the national resource has been based. But you'll see from the chart that is coming up now that the money that is raised here within the heart of England is actually used mostly in this area. So 42% goes to churches in the association, 38% for the association funding, and 20% outside for national work and elsewhere. And those association costs include those of your regional minister, Keith Judson, and the office of the association at the BMS International Mission Centre in Selly Oak. At national level, the funds cover the work of the General Secretary, Jonathan Edwards, who is in post until June, and then Lynn Green, who's coming in as the new General Secretary from September. And it covers the work of the departments there, of Ministry Department, looking after ministers and the accreditation process and settling them in churches. And then there's a new Faith and Society team, which has brought together a number of areas that focuses on faith issues, ecumenical relations, justice, communications, and certainly not least mission. Although they don't do mission, that is for all of us to do in our churches and where we live and work. At local level, grants are given to churches so that they can have paid ministry. These grants are given on the basis that the mission of the church will be enhanced. We see a video clip now of some of the opportunities.
Just imagine you could help transform the lives of young people by giving to a mission. You are.
Just imagine you could help bring love to an ignored state by giving to Home Mission. You are.
Just imagine you could help people in isolated communities by giving to Home Mission. You are.
Just imagine you could help support new ways of being church by giving to Home Mission. You are.
By giving to Home Mission, you're helping to transform lives and communities.
By giving to Home Mission, you're supporting the work of God's mission in your area.
By giving to Home Mission, you are involved in mission all around the country.
You could say that Home Mission is our best kept secret, but it goes back a long way. It's part of our Baptist DNA.
Home Mission enables churches to respond to the mission needs of their community.
Home Mission helps churches support their local ministers like me, who aim to lead the church forward in mission and to reach out to the local community.
Home Mission supports those of us working beyond the walls of the church.
Home Mission enables our 13 associations to develop and support you in ministry and mission.
Home Mission helps us to run the national resource, which enables our national mission and helps support over 2,000 Baptist churches, just like yours.
Just imagine what it would mean if we gave more sacrificially to support each other.
Just imagine what it would mean if we prayed more for each other.
Just imagine what could happen if we walked together and watched over each other.
Just imagine seeing more people in our communities experiencing the love of Jesus Christ.
To mention about four churches in this area that are receiving support. The first church is Delves, which is on the edge of Walsall and Sandwell. And there's two pictures for each church. Prior to the existing minister coming, the church had a difficult time with the former pastor splitting the church and moving on. With the help of a Home Mission grant, the church were able to call their current minister in 2010. The first year of her ministry was spent concentrating on healing and bringing confidence back into the congregation. But she also brought new mission energy into existing activities. A welcome weekend was held in September 2011, which resulted in a 50% increase in Sunday attendance. Some from links with current activities, some returning from the split, and some new people. The fellowship has been hugely encouraged in seeing such a response to reaching out to others. Mission has a high priority, and there are plans to introduce another session for younger children, and already there is an Alpha course in being. If we look at our next church, this is the King's Community Church in Oldbury. This church is actually not receiving a grant from Home Mission, but it did receive support from the association. And this is an extract from a letter from the pastor of the church, which I received in April. 5 years ago, the Association Mission Development Group graciously enabled us to appoint a family champion by giving us a grant to pay the salary. This month, that's April this year, that comes to an end. And I wanted to write to tell you that we have seen amazing things happen by being able to do this. And it has totally changed the way we do things as a church. It started small, but grew quite rapidly as we were contacted by the NHS and doctors' surgeries. This happened mainly on the back of our programme, working with mums with postnatal depression. We were able to share that we were Christians, and that was the reason we were doing what we were doing. This resulted over time in 98% of them attending an Alpha course, and many of those going on to give their lives to Christ. A great number of those are now involved in our church, and others we have managed to place in churches nearer their home. We have needed about 40 volunteers a week for our work with families, but people love being part of it because it helps them connect and have a real input into people's lives as they journey to faith. Knowing that the funding was coming to an end, we sought many avenues to secure funding, but that has proved difficult. When we took this to the church meeting, they have agreed to make special offerings to fund this for at least the next 2 years. Wonderful how God has moved in that situation. And here there's the church and the Oak Tree Centre, where they do a lot of the family work next to the church, main church building. We move on now to a village near adjoining Leamington Spa. Very different design of church. The church here at Radford Semele had a minister in training. That's one who works half-time for the church while studying at half-time at college for most of the period of the noughties, 2000 to 2009. But in 2009, with the help of Home Mission, they called their first full-time minister. This small church has seen membership grow from 21 to 26 in 3 years. The church writes, having enjoyed the benefit of a full-time minister over the past few years, we feel this has helped us to become a more community-centred church. This is evidenced by the increasing number of local people who visit us for our Easter and Christmas services. The minister enjoys visiting our local primary school, leading assemblies and joining in with RE lessons. As a school governor and member of the parish council, she has developed good relations with our local councillors and community leaders. With our parish church, you need to know here that the parish church has only just reopened after a major fire several years ago, and it's located across the main road from the centre of the village. The parish church has to share their minister with 7 other churches. Our minister at Radford Semele Baptist is seen by many as our village vicar. Activities during the week include Radford Rascals, the only village-based group for young people and their parents and carers. This attracts around 20 children plus adults per week. And in your entrance here, you have a photograph of the minister on the notice board doing a puzzle with the children's work. And the last church I want to share with you is Chelmsley Wood. Chelmsley Wood is a very large housing development from the 1960s and 70s to the east of Birmingham. It was one of the largest estates in Europe when built. Whilst it was built for Birmingham Overspill, it is actually in the borough of Solihull. It's an area of social deprivation. A Baptist church was established in the early days of the estate and has continued to witness over the years, always with the help of Home Mission. Generally, Home Mission grants are intended to be for 5 years to enable a ministry to become established, but it's recognised that in certain situations, particularly areas of deprivation, that a grant is needed on a longer term basis. The 1960s building has been failing in recent years, with services conducted with strategically placed buckets, and that's not to fill the baptistry, and an environment which is run down and not attractive. Nevertheless, the work has continued, with 8 baptisms about 18 months ago, and an increasing congregation. Whilst Home Mission has supported the ministry of the church, the association has been able to provide a grant of around £100,000 for the refurbishment of the church, and this has enabled the church to obtain a further £500,000 in grant funding to carry out extensive works on the building. And you can see some of this now with the new entrance that has been built. And as part of the Home Mission process, visitors go to the church to comment on it. And the visitors have written, the church is extremely well served by a minister who has contributed tirelessly to the work in this large urban context. The church fellowship is very supportive of one another and has experienced a measure of growth over the last 2 years. During the last few years of building issues, the church has continued to be enthusiastic in its engagement in mission activities. This morning is just a brief insight into how the £4,500 that you gave to Home Mission last year is being used. Thank you for your support. Let us finish by going back to Paul's words. You have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. And also the words that Anita used at the beginning of our service from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 to 6, reminding us that we are part of a bigger family as one body. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. I believe the next song that we will sing is one that is new to you. And on a day when the sun is shining, it has a line in it. About calling for, we have prayed to you for rain. That wasn't the intention when I chose it. But it's about the spiritual rain of the water from heaven. Refreshing. Because we live in a barren land spiritually. And we need the Spirit of God moving across the land in different places. We have heard how the Lord is moving in some churches this morning. There are many others where he is moving, and we need more of that. As again, looking back on the events of the last week, how much people need to know about the love of God.